This is 96.5's Family Worship. Heard Sunday mornings from 9 on Brisbane's 96.5.
Well, good morning. My name is Matt Maloney. I'm from the Inaugura Baptist Church, and this morning we are getting stuck into the good stuff as we take a look at what the Bible has to say about the problem of sin. Turns out that some parts of the Bible are really easy to read because the content is so immediately uplifting and encouraging. These are the bits that we put on coffee cups and on little signs around the house. It's the stuff you'll see on the back of people's cars. Other parts of God's Word, though, are much more challenging to read, and some parts are downright offensive. I wonder if you've had that experience. But if you think about it, if it's true that the whole Bible is God's Word and that He has given it to us so that we can be fully formed, and I believe that it is, then even the hard parts of the Bible are really there for our benefit. It means that we need the hard parts of the Bible. To my mind, the hardest truth in the Bible is its teaching on sin. Simply put, sin is the thing in all of our natures that opposes God. It describes the bad things that we do. It describes the good things that we don't do. But more fundamentally, sin describes the problem with human nature. The Bible teaches that the whole human race has become sinful, which means that from the level of our being up, it is natural for us to rebel against our Creator and His intentions for how life should work. The Bible's teaching on this subject says that other than Jesus Christ Himself, there is no person who is an exception to this rule, that all humans are sinful, and that there is no part of our lives which is free from the stain of sin. For example, one of the clearest places this is talked about in the Bible is in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 19. This is what it says. It says, "No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God." Now, that's all very difficult and offensive to hear, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I don't know that I've ever driven past a car with that written on the back of the bumper. Those might just be the most offensive words ever written. I don't know about you, but I prefer to think of myself as essentially a good person. Even though I sometimes make some pretty selfish decisions, it's a more comfortable way of viewing myself. But the Bible doesn't leave me with that option. It turns out that when I act in an evil way, I don't have someone else to blame. The reason why you and I do the wrong thing is because it's part of who we are. Now, this idea certainly can be misunderstood. For example, we aren't saying that all humans are walking around being the very worst version of themselves at all times. But what this is saying is that there is not a one of us who is good like God is good. None of us are perfectly pure. Sin is always present within us all, and we are never free from it. It's true. If you look at the pages of history, it doesn't matter when or where you look, you will see Romans 3 playing itself out. And so then our question today becomes, if it is true that the Bible is God's word and that He gave it to us in order to bless us, why is this here? Why would God want us to give our attention to such an insulting theme? Wouldn't it kind of be easier to ignore this and move on to nicer things and to focus on the positives? Isn't talking about this sort of thing going to drive people off from seeking God? No, it turns out that we need to hear this for a number of reasons, and today I want to draw your attention to two really important ones. The first is this. We need to know about sin because we need to be able to call evil evil. The instinct in us to shy away from this theme may feel like an attempt to be kind or be gentle, but actually it's unkind to those who are suffering the effects of sin. Far from driving people away from God, this teaching commends God to those who know through painful experience that the world is broken. That was a significant part of my experience in coming to faith. I wasn't raised in the church, though I was familiar with Christianity, but towards the end of my high school years, my life came into contact with the suffering of this world. The kind of suffering that exists because of the sinful actions of humans and because this world is in a state of fallen decay. I became very familiar with the brokenness that exists in the world and in myself, and I became enormously unhappy. But when some of my friends invited me to church, I came across the message of things like Romans 3, and far from driving me away from God, I found it life-giving. Suddenly, I could understand the experiences of my life. Knowing that the world is broken explained to me why such horrific things happen, and this is the important part, gave me the right to grieve over them. It gave me the ability to call evil, evil, and explained why I had such a strong longing for a better world. There's a postmodern view of life common today, which tells us that truth does not exist, that everything is relative and subjective, and so you should do what feels right for you and find your own truth. The people who believe this think that they are being tolerant or kind, but that worldview offers no comfort to the sin-sick sufferer. When evil comes into their world, it denies them any basis for calling it evil. If there are no absolutes, if truth is relative, then there is no objective reality behind the universe, and the best you can say when you encounter evil is, "This is unpleasant and I don't like it." There is no such thing as right and wrong. But God says, sin is wickedness. It is rebellion against Him. It is wrong. And that is not how things should be. This is not how He made the world. Things really are meant to be better than this, and we have every right to be upset by the broken state of the world. That knowledge is both redemptive and life-giving. And so we need to talk about sin because we need to be able to call evil, evil. And secondly, the reason why we need to talk about sin is because knowing about it is what will drive us towards the grace that can be received through Jesus. The second effect of all of this is that it brings to our awareness the need to deal with the sin not only that exists in the world, but the sin that lives inside of me. In that formative part of my life that I just described, after coming to see that the world is broken and doesn't work like it should, that left me with another inescapable conclusion, which is that it's not just the world which is broken. Sin isn't just a problem in the universe. No, it's a problem in me. I am part of the problem. I am sinful. I needed to confront the fact that it was me, Matthew Maloney, who was in rebellion against God. And the ways in which people had hurt me were things that were also present in my life as I did them to others. We need to talk about sin because I'm sinful and I need to know that about myself. It turns out that I am in need of rescuing. The problem that is in the world is in me. And without God's help, I am hopelessly lost. If I am driven from my very nature to rebel against the God who made me, if it is a part of my being to reject God as God, that is a crisis. And living in ignorance of that fact isn't going to be of any help to me. In fact, it's going to be perilous. This is the point where God's good news becomes good news. Knowing that I am sinful is the only way to make sense of Jesus. The whole reason for the events of Easter, the reason why God went to all the trouble of taking on flesh and walking around on this earth, getting Himself crucified and rising from the dead, was so that He could bring forgiveness and redemption into the lives of sinful people. Because of Jesus, we can be reconciled to God. Here is an example of how the Bible says that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Me learning that I'm a sinner is a necessary step that has to happen before I will ever reach out to Jesus and receive his wonderful gift. Jesus wants to save you from your sin. That's good news. But to hear that good news, you first need to hear the bad news. The problem that is in the world is real, and that problem is also inside of me. But thanks be to God that there is a solution to be found in Jesus, and he is willing to share it with you and with me. Now, as we've talked about these things, perhaps some of you have been listening and thinking to yourself, you know what, this is true. I need to get right with God. But I want you to know two things before we finish today. First, I want you to know that you can place your trust in Jesus today. You could go to Jesus in prayer even now and tell him something like this. Lord, I can see that I am sinful and that I need a Savior. I believe that through your cross and your resurrection, I can be forgiven and reconciled to God. Would you please forgive me and make me new? And you know what? If you ask Jesus to do this miracle in you, he will. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, which means he is for you and for me. Secondly, let me encourage you to join a good local church. That's what we are here for as churches. Let me encourage you to find a church who loves God and believes his word, and then ask them to help you understand what it means to have Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. We would be delighted to hear from you. And if you're in this area, why not join us at the Inaugural Baptist Church? We'd love to meet you. Thanks so much. Go with God.
96.5's Family Worship broadcasts Sunday morning at 9, on the radio at 96.5 FM and online at 96five.com.
This has been a 96.5 podcast production.